John chapter 15, verses 18 to 25. I've been praying, Lord, give me clarity of where we are in our world today. Give me clarity of the things that I see bombarding us. And I always know that when I pray that God is going to do that. There's been things in the Bible that I've struggled with, and I pray, God, this is your word. There shouldn't be a struggle with this, so help me. And you know, a month down the road, 2 months down the road, sometimes it's been a year down the road, I read the scripture, and all of a sudden it comes into light, and I'm like, thank you, Jesus. How did I miss that the other times? And so God always has a way of doing that. So I say, God, give me some things today that just really relate to this. And so John 15, verses 18 to 25, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He's about ready to leave. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled which is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. I don't want you today to focus on hate. I don't want you today to focus on people hating you. I want you to focus on the word persecution. I want you to focus on that because this is nothing new to believers. It is new to American believers. It is not new. It's foreign to American believers because we don't know how we can be persecuted in a land of such freedom. But it's coming and it will happen. But I do want you to know that your Chinese brothers and sisters today understand persecution. And in many other countries, I'm sure North Korea, those Christians understand persecution. Some of them give their lives, some of them end up in jail, some of them lose family members because they are persecuted for what they believe, and they stand and believe for what they believe. So last week, I gave you the case. Last week, I set out some thoughts to build up to what I really wanted to get at today, which I thought would take place last week, but now we have a part two, which I did not plan for. And as I go into that, this is not a left or right. This is a conservative and anti-conservative message. How's that? All right? Even though one tends to be more the other side than the other, and you can pick all of that. I'm not going to go into that. But first, as I get into this, I want to thank so many of you online and here today, because I'm always a little worried about these messages, but your response and feedback showed me that I am onto something that is far bigger than me and that we need to hear. I have had phone calls from other states. Monday morning, I woke up, got a call from Stanley. Hey, Stanley, I know you're on today, so there's your shout out. He said, I better get a shout out. So Stanley, thank you for calling me from Maine and just waking me up that Monday morning and just letting me know how that affected, that message spoke to your heart. I got phone calls from other states. What happened is many of you shared this message tremendously. And it went all over the place, more than I could ever. And so I got wonderful long texts. Charlie, she's probably on today. Charlie shared with me last week how she sent this message to all of her friends. And so many of you did that. You shared this message. So I'm getting long texts. I'm getting phone calls. I'm getting emails. Somebody told me how they shared it with someone and that person left their church. That's not what I was looking for. And this person left their church because they said, well, my pastor doesn't speak those things. Well, don't compare your pastor to me. This guy's a bonehead. I may be getting in trouble for this stuff. I have no idea, but I'm still going to speak the truth. I ended up on a local radio program on Monday night because of it, sharing the same topic, speaking on the same topic. And so thank you. I hope that you all tune back in. And maybe some of you are tuning in with us for the first time because somebody shared this and you're saying, wow, I need to hear that. Thank you so much. It really spoke to me about where I am and what's happening. Now, today I want to look at the facts of the case. I want to give you some facts. I think last week I gave you a lot of just thoughts and a lot of things to set it up, but I want to give you facts. Why you and I as believers should be majorly concerned. Listen, not afraid. Not afraid. We don't have to fear any man, but we do fear the Lord. That we should be majorly concerned. And what I want you to see, not afraid, but our eyes open to what is happening. The left right now has a saying, I think it's called Woken, Awoken, And what that talks about is people, businesses, that have finally opened their eyes to the way life has to be and are being a part of that process. I believe that the church should be awoken. And not in that sense, but the church should be awoken to what Jesus is doing and the way that Jesus is moving. And we got to stop having our eyes closed, church, to these things that are going on around us. And so why we should be concerned, not afraid, but having our eyes open and involved. We should be involved in the process of speaking out and taking our place in the world the way that God has ordained it to be. Now, the first fact I did bring out last week. You and I as believers tend to be conservatives in our beliefs. Most believers are. Most Christians are. And we watched the last half of a year as protesters, that's what they were called, that's all they could be called, burned our cities, took over complete blocks of cities, burned cars, destroyed buildings, and nothing could be said about them or done to them because it would be wrong to do that. But many like us, hundreds of thousands, went to Washington to protest what is happening, and a few thousand go crazy out of that hundreds of thousands. Let me say it again. They were wrong. What they did was wrong. I don't agree with that. But now all of us as conservatives are lumped in as terrorists and extremists. During the administration before President Trump, you could do whatever you wanted and never have such a label. They could shoot up a mall. They could bomb a military base. They would never label it terror, especially not domestic terrorists. They would never call it domestic terrorists. But now, as I told you last week, I read that Mrs. Pelosi wanted to bring in machine guns in the inaugural speech to keep peace over us, the new domestic terrorists. Can I say something's wrong? Something's wrong. And I bring that out again to say that there is no way that we will ever, if we have God's word in our mouths, get a fair shake in the system that is being put together today that started back in the 50s. No, it started back in the late 1800s. I'm going to go into that during the summer in three messages. I'm going to show you. I'm reading books now, getting my facts straight so I don't speak out about things that I don't know. Thank God for our brother Bill James, who, again, even in this administration, has been invited in to speak. And so we need to pray for him because he's going to be with us in April. He gets to say some tough things in some very tough places where it's hard to say it, but he's got an open door. We need to pray for him. Now, people have told me, Pastor, don't get worried. It's common for a president to go in, to turn over the previous president's work through executive orders. I get that. I understand that, okay, especially when there's a party change because neither party can work together. I get that. I don't like what you did, so I'm going to use my power to remind you that you're no longer in power. I have the power. I get it. Totally get it. It happens every administration. But I would also say that we cannot be blind, church, to what is being signed and what it means to us as believers and conservatives. The changing of the dates. These are just facts I'm giving you. The changing of the dates. The first executive order that President Biden signed was to stop the 1776 Commission. They removed it from the internet because it was racist. What was the 1776 Commission? It was the commission that was put together to bring information out and show that America was a great nation, that should be taught in our history books, that America is a great nation, was a great nation, was started as a great nation. And so we saw, you know, some things with our national anthem this year. We saw some things, but all of that was to put that back together so that as an American, and I am a believer first, a follower of Jesus first, but I am also American. I stand and pledge the flag every day in my school, in my class. I stand, take my hat off, and cross my arm when the national anthem is projected, wherever it's projected, no matter how it's projected. I do that because I'm an American. Well, that commission was brought out to do that through the internet and through history books and through this. Are we a flawed nation? Yes, we are. Did we make mistakes? We sure did. Are we paying for some of those mistakes today? Yes, we are. That's the way it goes when you make mistakes as a nation, when you make mistakes as a person. But many years ago, I started these series of messages every summer, three a year, that has gone by the same name for the last 6, 7, 8, 9 years, as long as it's been. And I've entitled it The Spirit of America, and this message will become part of that series. But in this 6 or 7 years, I've always tried to bring out this fact, church. We are a great nation. God has blessed America. God has been in her beginning, and I pray will be in her end, though I can't find that in the Bible. Our founding fathers weren't perfect. Some weren't even Christian, but they believed in what they were doing, and many of them believed that it was from God. And so that is gone in one stroke of the pen on the president's desk. But what do we expect when we don't have to stand for the flag? What do we expect when we don't have to show honor to our national anthem and that lives and the lives that were given for our freedom? Oh, that's right, but that's just protesting again. I get it. And so now we have the 1619 Project. That is what has been brought back in. It was there before by the prior administration. Trump took it out. Now it's back in. And they have all, now listen, they've admitted that the 1619 Project is very flawed. They've admitted that. They've admitted that it's bogus history. But now in our schools, your students will only get taught the 1619 Project, which basically teaches that America is a horrible nation. She was started horribly, and they'll bring slavery out and those types of things, and they should, but that America cannot be good, and that America needs help to be good, and so they're going to bring in the freedom and everything else about that. And it will now be taught in our schools, and this does affect me. I'm a white person. Praise God, I get to pastor a multicultural church, but it'll be brought out in our schools, in our history books, that all white people are racists. I don't know if you know me, but I think I'm far from a racist. I hope I am. Man, I love all color skins of people. I hang out with all color skins of people. From a childhood, my parents made sure that was the case in our home. We didn't know color of skin when our friends came over. And mom and dad opened the door to all of our friends. Didn't matter what they were, who they were. But that's what they're going to be teaching in our schools, and that America is bad. I'm telling you, church, listen, that there are forces that are out to destroy America as we know it. How far back does it go? I will show you in my series this summer, and I'm still getting the facts, but I'll show you that it goes back as far as the late 1800s. And it started in England because England was upset at what America had become, and they wanted to wreck that, and it has been playing out ever since. I'm telling you that there are forces that are doing it. However, in the early 1950s, we had a senator named Joseph McCarthy. Maybe some of you would know him. And from that, we have a term called McCarthyism. McCarthyism. Senator McCarthy was part of a ferocious campaign to root out the communists in our government and our other institutions because we had Russian spies that had taken life in America. Rightfully so, root them out. I get that. But in McCarthyism, your neighbors could whisper through the fence and say, they're communists, they're spies. And they would throw them in jail. They would blacklist them. They would they could not get jobs. They could not, even though there was no proof of them ever being communists. Now, I'm sure that they did find some spies. And thank God for that. But not everybody was a sympathizer with the communists. And so if they were accused, they were blacklisted. They lost their jobs. People were denied employment because they were believed to be, not always proven in most cases, communists or sympathizers. You could do no business. You could not make a living. Christian, beware. Those of us with conservative values that keep us from voting or for accepting the views of this world system that goes against God's word, I'm telling you, beware, because this is coming. Just this week, our president signed, I'm sorry I don't know the name of it because I wasn't going to say anything about it, but he signed an executive order. I forget what it was, and I forget the exact wording of it. If you listen to the wording of it, it sounded so good. And it had to do with businesses. And it sounded so good when you heard it. It had to do with businesses aligning with things and being able to do business and those types of things. But what we missed was this, and I believe this is the Antichrist. I really do. The system's being set up. Your phone is part of the Antichrist system. Your Easy Pass is part of the they know everywhere you are, every moment of the time. So this is all part of, I used to wonder as a kid watching all the movies, well, how will the Antichrist know where we are? How will they be able to keep track of us if we don't take the mark of the beast and all of that stuff? Very easy. We've just adopted it. We've just, hey, it makes life easy. So it's part of what we do. It's all out there. But when you get into the depth of this executive order, what you will see is this. That basically, if these businesses don't align with global warming, if these businesses don't align with immigrants coming in the way they want to bring them in, if these businesses don't align with the way they're setting up business to align, then you will not be able to do business in the United States. So we will have many businesses close. We will have many businesses go under. We will have many businesses, churches, Christians may not be able to get credit cards. Christians and churches and conservative people may not be able to do business with banks and with other things because they're going to shut us down because, oh, you believe that way. This doesn't align with this executive order, this law that we have. I'm just telling you, it's there. Read it. Read what it says. We just hear the good words that they put out. We say, oh, that's pretty cool. Well, it is good. But it's not good when you see everything that it entails. Everything is wound up in there. So Christian, beware. I know this is coming. Has it ever disappeared? Has McCarthyism ever disappeared? No. It's always existed in some form. But it's going to be bigger and worse, I believe, for the followers of Jesus Christ. And you know, I'm not surprised because Jesus said that it would happen. But I see it in what Facebook and YouTube... Did I jump ahead? Let me see. Nope, okay. But I see it in what Facebook and YouTube are doing today. How far will they go to exact the hatred that they had toward this man that was in office and toward the people that kind of just supported what he was doing? I don't know. For instance, the Transition Integrity Project. They ran, back in October, they ran war games with the election to see who would win and what the outcome would be. In two of the many war games that they ran, Joe Biden did win that war game, but there were many war games they ran. I don't know the outcome of them all. But listen to what they reported. I'm sorry, this is August, not October. Listen to what they reported on August 3rd, 2020. They said this: the Democratic elected representatives team supported the Biden effort, but also began the process of preparing for investigation into Trump, his family, and his associates. So back in August, they were ready that if Trump won the election, they were all just also going to just bombard him and go after him again for whatever. I guess ballots that weren't real or those types of things. And we know that that is not the case in any situation. And I would like to say that for the most of us who voted for Trump, they have a paper with our name on it now that shows we voted for Trump. They know that, and I don't know, but I'm seeing that we're starting to be called, and the word is being used more and more in what I'm listening to, domestic terrorists. So how far will they go? Who can you trust? Who's going to rat you out? I don't know. In the 1950s, it was neighbors turning in neighbors. It was family members turning in family members. I don't know. When they start to put the pressure on, know this: people will do strange things. That's all I know. Do you know what they want to do with us? They're using the term, you got to listen, it's not hard to hear, deprogramming. Matter of fact, I got an email, and I don't know if it's true because I haven't checked it, that in New York, was it New York, honey? Yeah. That they've already set up one of the deprogramming stations. I don't know what it's called, but they've done that. One of the churches got a notification from their town. Okay, so one of the churches got a notification from their town that it's being set up. What is a deprogramming? They want to take conservatives, specifically Trump supporters, and they need deprogramming because they're not thinking clearly. They're not. They want to change the way we think and change our mental ability to think. And so this is really them just trying to silence what we have to say. This is them stopping us from speaking out our beliefs, from speaking out our faith. It's rounding people up who don't assimilate to their beliefs. President Biden said to come into unity. I loved what he said. I loved that speech. Powerful speech. But basically, from what I'm saying, that unity at this time is basically just line up with what we say, assimilate to what we're doing, and you're going to be fine. Well, I can't come under some of those things because I answer to a higher authority. I answer to the Word of God, and I answer to what God says, and I can't believe or even settle for our country doing some of those things. I heard President Biden's inauguration speech about unity and what we need to do to get there. And I quote, he said, "We must reject the culture," listen, "in which facts themselves are manipulated and even manufactured." That makes no sense to me, because they are the ones who are influencing the mainstream media so that the truth will never be told. And we have news sources that are reporting those truths, and they are shut down or removed from the airways. And I tell you that this is only the beginning, church. It wasn't even a right-leaning news company, but the New York Post, very left. Very liberal. I shouldn't say left or right. Let's say liberal and conservative. But the New York Post, very liberal, went through this because they reported something that this president wants you to know. They reported the true story about his son Hunter and Burisma, and they were censored because they didn't want us to know the truth before the election was cast. He lied. But we have President Biden on video saying, "Yes, I did that." So I don't know what's going to happen with that. The press claimed it was a Russian plant and a conspiracy theory. Well, we heard that before too. President Trump was completely banned on social media. Parler was shut down because they provided the space for people to have free speech. Now, I didn't like what those people did, but why do you have the right to shut down a complete system where people are sharing their views? People are allowed to share views. We have the amendment to say that we have free speech. I tell you that it won't be long before pastors who are speaking things like I'm speaking out will lose the privilege of broadcasting online like Facebook and Twitter and other social media apps. You see, the word unity is very powerful. It has done some great things. Unity took us to the moon. Thank God for unity. Unity took us through two world wars and gave us victory with the other nations that we fought with. But unity has also been used to do some horrible things. FDR used it to change the country during the Great Depression, and he used it to round up the Japanese and put them in concentration camps. LBJ used it to create the modern welfare state, which is not good. George Bush used it to create the Patriot Act and spy on Americans. I'm sure we still love that every time we go through the airport and we have to have our pictures taken of our body and to show that we don't have anything on us. That was unity. Unity has taken rights away from people who do not agree with the systems of today. Another fact, coronavirus, masks, I get it. I get that we should be wearing masks for the sake of others. But now they're saying that we should be wearing 2 and 3 masks at the same time. My poor ears can't handle it. I get sore with one mask. I guarantee the TV commercial in about 3 to 5 years will be this. Listen, were you forced to wear a mask for several hours at a time by your place of employment? And now you have problems breathing or even greater yet some of these yet unnamed diseases. Then call 1-800-MY-LAWYER to join this lawsuit because we have money for you that you are owed. Now we might laugh at that, but I guarantee you mesothelioma and all of these other things, it's coming. It is not good. Anybody in the medical field can tell you it is not good to be breathing what we're breathing back into our lungs and not getting clear air. It's not good. How about the shutdowns? We have to have stimulus checks, and they're going to send out another one. Make sure that landlords can't evict anyone that can't pay, while the landlord has to pay the taxes, pay the upkeep, pay the mortgage on those buildings, all because the nation had to be shut down, and the government felt that they could tell business owners that you can't open your business. Where do they have that right? I've never seen them have that right, nor should they have that right. But we, as right-wing conservatives, are called bigots, fascists, and extremists. I heard on almost every campaign commercial how President Trump didn't know what he was doing with COVID-19 mess, how he wasn't doing enough, and how he mishandled the whole situation. And vote for me because I have a plan. Did you read the plan that the president just put out? Because I'm going to tell you what's in it. Everything that President Trump said is in it. It's President Trump's plan with a whole new name. All they did was change the name. And then last week, I forget which day in a press conference that I was watching, our president says that we're going to have to wait this thing out and let it take its course with the vaccines going out. Those were the exact words that I heard 8 months ago from the man who was in his seat. But it was crazy then. And boy, I'd really like to be able to figure this one out. We had to close everything. We had to shut it down because this thing is so dangerous. But now that we have a new administration in place, everything must be really good because New York is opening up, California is opening up. All of a sudden, it's a good thing to do because the people need it. Come on. It just strikes me as funny. I'm not even mad anymore. I'm just laughing at this stuff. Church, why I am saying all this, am I saying it to complain? Am I saying it to vent? Maybe that's what it might seem like. But I feel that the church needs to wake up. As a good friend of mine in ministry said last week, the church has to wake up. Every 4 years we awaken for a few months to pray and believe that God is going to give us a Christian president. But even when God gave us one who did amazing things to further the, not that he was a Christian, but he did amazing things to further the task of the kingdom for the last 4 years, the church went back to sleep or we joined the liberal media in the attacks. Hey, Christian mom and dad, I think it was like the 4th executive order to be signed on Inauguration Day. Now you have no right to object if your daughter wants to leave the school that she's in during the day to go take testosterone shots because she feels that she's a boy, or vice versa with your son. You have no right to know that. Your little girl can be in the locker room changing, and one of the boys can now come in because he feels that he's not a boy, and he can come in because God made a mistake. God made him a boy when he should have been a girl. So he can come in and undress and change with her in your local locker room of any federal building. Or our wives, men, can be in a public bathroom and a guy who doesn't feel very manly that day can walk in and use the bathroom with her. I'm going to tell you what, I may get arrested for this, but if I see a guy go into the ladies' room in a public place when my wife's in there, I'm getting in front of the door and saying, you'll wait till my wife comes out. I'm sorry, but that's the way I'm going to do it. Because I'm furious with this stuff. Well, I guess I am mad. And we have nothing to say about it because it has been signed into existence. How does that make you feel? And if you object, then you're not seeking to be in unity with us in this great nation. And you probably should be reprogrammed. We have 11 million people who are here illegally. And now they can stay and get this that you and I pay for. Listen, I'm all right. America is the melting pot. Man, come into our country. But come in through the proper channels and get jobs and pay taxes and do what you're supposed to do. What's coming is much like what our founding fathers were fighting against when they put the tea in the harbor. Taxation without representation. They want us to pay, but we're not allowed to have a voice. And you and I will not have a voice, church, and that's what we're coming to. I don't know how far down the future it will be. And if we think we do, then we will be shut down for what we say. Now, this isn't the president. I'm not attacking President Joe Biden today. He is the president. I will pray for him. I will pray for his safety. I will pray for everything about him. This is the program that is so much bigger than him or her, because we know that Nancy Pelosi will get rid of him and put Mrs. Harris in place. This will be the subject of my summer messages in the series this year. But let me cheer you up a little bit, because I feel like I've been a downer today. Let me close this message with some cheer in it. If you believe like I believe, and I think probably 74 million of us might, we have some things that we can do. And just a side note, I don't want to get into all the conspiracy theories, but if that many voted for Trump, and I think I read that he's got the most received by any sitting president in history, I need to check that fact because I'm not sure it's true. If you do the math on registered voters who did vote, not dead people, not multiple ballots that were ever checked or never checked, could Mr. Biden have gotten 80 million? It's almost impossible. Or maybe Trump got 40 million. Maybe we lied. I don't know. Something's going on, though, with the voting system. But I believe that this is not over yet, and I believe that very soon this will come out in the truth, and it will change some of the very things we're talking about today. I'm hopeful. I'm so hopeful that that happens. So what do? Here's what we do, church. We speak out. We need to. We need to stop them from silencing us. We need Christian lawyers to step up and back those who speak out in the courts and in the public systems. Churches, you have Christian lawyers. We know Christian lawyers. They need to step up and they need to say, you know, I'm a believer first and I need to support the system. I need to support what God has put me into this job for. We've had parents told in the near past that they didn't need to know that their son or daughter, and I forget which one it was cross-dressing in school for 2 years before they found out because the parent's business stopped at the school door. You know what that parent needed to do? And I think they did it. They needed to take that to court. They needed to take it to the court system. We need to have your voice heard because that means that there are other parents probably in the same shoes that don't even know it yet. We need the church to be the church, the awakened church, the church that is drawn closer to Jesus and reorganizing and recognizing the times that we are living in. That's why I speak this message today, not to complain, to wake you up, to say, get involved. We need to fight the culture war. We've lost the culture war. We're losing our young people to these ideas because we aren't keeping them in church and we can't keep them in church. Why? Because church is dead. Church is a place where people sleep. Listen, I can do that in my bed on Sunday morning. I can sleep in my bed rather than get up 2 hours early and come to church. So I'll just stay in bed and sleep my only day off. What am I saying? The church needs to become the place of power that she was intended to be. We need to step up. We need to trust God to fill us with His Holy Spirit and to move us out in our world led by His Spirit. I would say that we should have voted being led by His Spirit, but when I look at the real numbers, I think we were. But something happened on election night. I don't know what you think, but something happened that election night between 1 a.m. and 6 a.m. Something happened, and I don't get it, and I don't want to join all the conspiracy theories, but something happened, and I pray that we get to the bottom of it. Something took place that night that was evil. Let me see where we're at. I'm reading notes today because I want to make sure I stick to my facts, because when I ramble, I get in trouble. What do we do, church? We pray. But our prayers need to be followed by action. We cannot just start praying in 2024 that God will give us a Christian again, but we need to start praying right now. We need to be on our knees right now, praying for the safety of President Joe Biden, praying for the salvation of President Joe Biden. Yes, he's a good Catholic man, but he doesn't know Jesus Christ personally. Praying for his eyes to be open, but then I wonder, will he be our president if his eyes are opened? And praying against his agenda that he continues to sign on his desk each day. That if you're watching this happen, and I've been watching it, you realize that these agendas don't seem to be his. Somebody is putting them before him. Who's doing that? I don't know. But it's somebody much bigger than him. It's somebody with a much bigger plan. And you're going to hear me saying that in my messages for a lot this year as I speak about this situation. We need Christian businessmen to step up. We need Christian business women to step up and say, you know what? You can't shop there anymore. I can do that. I can open that business. And we as a church need to support them. We need to stop the Amazon thing and go support. It might be a little more expensive, but we need to support that ministry. Believe in that. It's going to become a ministry so that they can source the things that need to happen in the kingdom of God. So we need Christian businessmen. We need Christian women to open their dreams. It's going to be hard to do it. They're going to put you through things that you're not going to want to go through, but we need this to happen. We need Christian and conservative businesses. We need Christian and conservative news companies. We need Christian and conservative investments. And I believe that what's happening, church, is just part of the end times. They're coming upon us. I know that as long as the church is on this earth, we have a part to do. I believe Jesus is coming soon. And I heard this my whole life. And I'll tell you what, it's harder for me to say that as a pastor because I heard it as a child. Jesus is coming. And I watched all the movies. I watched The Late Great Planet Earth. And I watched, Thief in the Night and The Rolling Thunder. And I watched all those and I thought, God, yes, come Jesus, come. Oh, not till I get married, but come Jesus. And I've gotten married and I've had children. And now they pray, God, don't come until we get married. And they're married and they're having kids and I've got grandkids. But today I feel that there's more of an unction in my heart to say, wow, I do believe that Jesus is coming soon. I do believe that if he continues to hold off, that something's got to happen and this thing is going to break. And I do believe that Jesus is going to begin to remove his church from this world. But we must occupy until that moment. We must occupy until that time. I believe that with all my heart. We need Christians not to shy away from persecution because it is coming. Look what was said in the New Testament church. Look what was said about the New Testament church in their persecution. And let that be us. Hebrews 11, 35 to 38. Listen, women received the dead raised to life again. Okay, that's great, but look what they went through. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. Let that be said that in these days, if that's where we're headed, that this church, like they, rose up and said, nevertheless, let it be done to me, that we would do that. Our Chinese brothers and sisters say that every day. Our North Korean brothers and sisters are saying that every day. There's other nations where it's happening. I know that my life could be taken today. I know that I could be locked up in jail today. I know that they could silence my voice today. But nevertheless, I look to Jesus and I believe that Jesus has a plan in this and I'm not going to shy away, but I'm going to be his voice, I'm going to be his hands, and I'm going to continue to do what I know to do until the day that he calls me home. Now, it said there that they were sewn in animal skins. And, you know, people would say, well, yeah, they had, you know, they didn't have much, Pastor, so they had to cover up with animal skins. That is true. But what you don't also realize is that Nero was a nasty man. And what he did is he took the Christians, he made them lamps, he pitched tar on them and stood them up on poles and lit his parties with them. They're burning the Christians at the stake, so to say, and they were the lamps for the whole occasion. And he would take them to the gladiator arenas and he would sew them up in animal skins like goats and lambs, and he would let the lions loose to go and tear them to pieces. And look what they said, it's all right. I don't think they said, oh, geez, this is great. Man, look at that big hungry lion coming at me. I think what they said was, if this is what it takes to follow Jesus, then I'm okay with it and I'm going forward in it. Now, I don't know how we get there, church. That's not my heart right now. But we got to get there, and we got to be okay with what Jesus says, and we got to be okay to say, if this is my faith, if this is what I've given my life to, then I'm willing to give my life for it. Amen? Church, we might be down, but we aren't out. Jesus said to expect these things, but he expected that these things would fire us up. He expected that these things would draw us together. I have a sense that maybe the Catholics and the Baptists and the Presbyterians and the Pentecostals, I have a sense that maybe in these next few years we begin to get together more. And I think we begin to put away our differences and say, this is what unites us. Because they're bringing it against us. And if we're not united, how are we ever going to stand together? Won't that be a wonderful thing? When the segregated church of God comes together, I believe that it's going to happen. It's going to happen through persecution. He expected that we would stand strong in these things, declaring his gospel in the face of danger, declaring his good news to a world that would be hurting us and that would be broken around us. Can Jesus count on you today? Listen, it's bigger than casting a vote. That's been done, and for whatever reason, we lost. It's bigger than posting on Facebook. It's bigger than posting on Twitter, because I believe that a good test of whether you're doing it right for Jesus or not will be by the amount of time that your Facebook account and Twitter account remain open and accessible. I'm telling you, it's coming. Project Veritas released a video of the CEO of Twitter. His name is Jack Dorsey, saying that while Trump was the main target at the present time, this goes much bigger than him and one account, and it's going to go on for a much longer time. AOC in Congress, we've heard enough of her. AOC in Congress said that Congress may form a commission to rein in media after the Capitol riot. What does that mean, rein in media? It means that they're going to close the medias down, the media companies that speak out against what they're saying. That's what she means. They're very clear in what they're saying. This commission would be to shut down any news or opinion that they do not like, but that's unity. Listen, it's bigger than complaining and grumbling, church. Listen to what I'm saying. It's about becoming the people that God has called us to be. It's about taking up the fight that God has called us to fight for the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 11:12, and I'll close with this because we're done. Time's over. And from the days of John, and I'm not going here next week. We're done with this. I'll speak three messages about this thing from the 1800s that has crept into America and why we're under so much attack as America, not just as conservatives, but as America. And I'll finish that Memorial Day, 4th of July, and Labor Day. Matthew 11:12, in closing. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. In other words, as long as the kingdom of heaven is around, it didn't have to be 2021. When they were around in 500, when they were around in 1,000, wherever the kingdom of heaven, wherever the believers of Jesus Christ are, they will suffer violence. Violence will strike out against them, but they will take that violence by force. They will rise up to the occasion. They will pray. They will fight the battle. Where do we fight the battle? We don't go out with our guns. If you own guns, they're coming for them. Just going to tell you. Have you tried to get ammo? Can't get it. The government's buying it all up. But anyway, they're going to come for all of this stuff. But we don't fight with guns. We're not going to go out and shoot people. We're not going to go out and attack the Capitol building. We're not going to do those things. That's insane. Those that did that, oh, it's snowing. Those that did that, it's insane. I don't back you up. I don't agree with you. And there's much more of us than you who did that. We don't go out with pitchforks. We don't go out with beating people up and pounding people. We don't do that. We got dropped to our knees and we pray, Jesus, move in this world. But then as we battle on our knees, we have to rise up from our knees. Here's what we've missed. We've done the praying part, but we've missed that Jesus said, now get up and go fight it. Get up and stand for it. Get up and believe for it. Get up and speak out against it. And that's what we need to do. We all have avenues of people that we touch. I pray, Charlie, if you're watching, is Charlie on? I pray, Charlie, if you're watching, that you'll share this message with everybody again. I pray Stanley in Maine, share this with people all over the place. If you don't see me here next week, I don't think I'm going to get locked up for this, but who knows what's coming. If you don't see me, pray for me. Amen? Listen, this is good. This is bad. Jesus said it would be. Jesus said they're not going to love you. They're not going to necessarily want to listen to you. They're not going to want to, but expect it. And I think we've been in church in America just, oh, isn't that great? I don't even have to go to church today because I'm living in freedom. I'm living in America. I'll just stay home, turn on the TV, turn on the phone, and I'll sit in my comfy chair eating my hot Captain Crunch, and I'll just watch whatever service I want to watch today. not realizing that there's a battle for our lives, not realizing that there's a battle for our children, not realizing that there's a battle. It's always been there. It just seems to be heating up at the moment. And you know what? I think it's time for the church to wake up and say, gosh darn it. I don't think that's cursing, not taking the Lord's name in vain. My dad would say it was. He's saying, you're just using gosh as God. And you know, he's probably right. But gosh darn it. I forgot my thought. Gosh darn it, service is over. You know what I'm saying. I'm sure it was something to the point of, I'm going to rise up and I'm going to speak my voice. And I'm going to live for Christ with everything that I have in me. Will they come for you if you do that? I think in time, yes. Will they close churches? Yes. But you know what COVID's done for us? Given us that. They can never shut us down. They can take me off Facebook. They can take me off YouTube. Who cares? We'll find a way. There's a man back there with headphones on his head that will figure out a way that we can get the message out. And if they close us down, I'll speak from my house. I've already done it with COVID. And I'll go into each and every one of your homes and share the word, no matter what that word is, that God shares in my heart to give to you. And we'll be a force. We'll be a revolution. But a right one. One that's handling the situation right. With eyes wide open. Facing what's coming at us. You know what bothers me? Little Maya sitting there. And the other kids that are downstairs right now. What they don't know any of this. We don't need to teach them this. Do you hear what I'm saying? Let them be children. I wish that Maya didn't have to hear this message today. She wasn't here, but for whatever reason she is. But let them be children. Let them live life. But I don't want her to be in a locker room with some young man coming in there. I don't want any girl downstairs or any boy being in a locker room when a girl comes in. Oh, that'd be different, Pastor. Man, that'd be a great thing. No. The double standard, it needs to be broken. Amen? This is wrong. It's not right. And we're not going to stand for it. And transgenders and homosexuals, I don't know what else to call you. I'm sorry if that's not the right term. You're welcome in our church. We'll love you. We'll care for you. I'm going to speak from the word, so it's not going to be peachy keen for you. But you'd be welcome here. But you're not going to use our ladies' room. And ladies, you're not going to use our men's room. Listen to what I'm saying. We're going to do things right. But if you want to come and sit here and listen to what the word of God says, who knows what God's word would do in your life? Who knows? There would never be any conviction brought by me, but maybe there would be by the pages, which convict me every day. Does this convict you? Does this convict you? Sure does. Does this convict you, John? John, I thought of you today coming from Wawa, and I said, man, I haven't seen John in ages. I wonder what he's doing. I saw Sandy driving out on her way to church. So it's good to see you today. Amen. Amen. Church, I know this is tough for some of us. I know some of us maybe are caught up on the wrong side. Listen, there's no wrong or right side. Listen, what do you believe? Come to the grip of what you believe. Is it worth dying for? Is it worth believing in? Is it worth giving your life for? That's all you need to decide. The rest of this other stuff, it'll work its way out. It always has. But I think it's time for the church to arise. And I think it's time for the people of God to say, you know what? And I've preached a message like this before. It's enough. It's enough. We're not going to bow. We're not going to bow. When they said that, the three Hebrew boys, what happened to them? They got thrown into the fire. But the king who threw them in the fire looked in there. Saw Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego walking around. Their hair wasn't on fire. Their clothes weren't on fire. And then he looked a little closer and he said, wait a minute. We put three in, but there's four. And one looks like the Son of God. I have a sense that as we go through what we go through, Jesus will never give up on us. And he will always be there with us and for us. And I think that's what's going to bring us through. Amen. So is all this stuff hopeless? No. It is the end of the world. It's all going to happen. We can't change it. We can fight it. We can stand and make a voice. We can stand and say we won't accept it. And will they listen to us? Probably not. But we go to heaven knowing that we have done what we needed to do. Hope you still love me. I hope you're online. You're still tuning in. I'm done. If you want to know more, Memorial Day, 4th of July, and Labor Day. We'll continue with this. Let's pray.